Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. He can be your Savior. He wants to be your Savior. He came to be your Savior, in fact. For Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program today, and we're certainly thankful that you chose to tune in today to listen to this little country preacher and his wife as she sings. We're just happy. We're just happy that God has brought us together. We pray and believe that our time together will be a blessing, certainly we do. You know what I want to do? I want to glorify God and all that I do. I was reading after a man of the name of Clarence Sexton just this past week, and I read where he said something. He said, I no longer want to strive to do things right. He said, I want to strive to do right things more and more. Well, I like that. I like that kind of thinking. I like that kind of philosophy, and well, he provoked me, excuse me, to some thinking, and I say amen to that. That's what I want to do too. Well, we're excited about the message, the song Debbie has chosen today to sing, the one that she's got. Well, it's a blessing, friend. It's such a blessing it is to me. I'll be turning my Bible. I already have actually the book of Mark chapter 5. Could read out of the book of Matthew or Luke, but I just love chapter 5. Of the book of Mark's Gospel, one of my favorites actually. And I'll be reading a couple of verses of Scripture, sharing a message that God has laid on my heart for you, and I trust that you'll stay with it. I trust that we'll be stretched. I trust that we'll learn something, not just about ourselves, but about our God. The God that we say we love. The God that we serve. The God, friend, that is Almighty. But before I do that, again, Deb's got the song she's going to do. The title of it is Just Around the Bend. Well, you enjoy. I know that you will. By the way, if you want any of Debbie's projects, any of these programs, all you got to do is write and let us know or visit our website.
I've heard of a land that's waiting just beyond the river. I've heard of a land.
like that. Thank God I'm glad I know what's waiting me just around the bend. Do you? We're headed for eternity. All of us are. And friend, listen, there's a good place to go in eternity and a bad place to go. And we decide where that will be. We decide for ourselves where that will be in this life. Oh, there's a heaven to gain, sir, ma'am. There's a hell to shun. And I hope that you make the right decision for your eternal good. I hope that you choose Christ as your Savior. Well, thank you, Debbie, for the song. And well, again, if you want any of our projects or any of these programs, all you do is write and let us know, or else just go on our website. You'll be able to see that. You'll be able to get the programs and the songs that Debbie sings. I've turned, like I've said, to the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And I'm not going to read as much as would be helpful, actually. I mean, really, I'd like to read the whole chapter. Every part of it is important to this message, but here's what I want to start with. Verse 35, the Bible said, and he yet, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about erasing the limits. Erasing the limits. Now, as I'm making this program, the Winter Olympics, I think they've already ended. I've not watched them much, but I watched a little bit of them. And one day, one evening, actually, I was watching, and I believe if I remember correctly, they were doing speed skating. I don't know. I just like that some way or another. And the amazing thing was that there were two races. One man, he broke the Olympic record in the race that he had, and just immediately the next pair of speed racers that were coming behind this gentleman who had broke the Olympic record, why, he broke it right behind him by several 100ths or maybe even a couple of seconds. I don't remember right now, but one record was broken. I mean, you know what happened for a little bit? For a little while, that man was filled with adulation. That man was filled with a great joy. For a while, he had an Olympic record in his hand. I mean, his name went down in the book, but all of a sudden, somebody came behind him and erased, so to speak, his record. Now, his record still stands. It's already in the record book. It's not going to change anything. But another man came along and took it beyond, took it to a new dimension, if you will, took it to a new place. He erased the limits of the gentleman that came before him and set another record. Let me ask you something today, friend. How far do you think God can go for us? How much do you believe God can do? Do you believe God is successful, can be successful with our needs in our life, with our problems, our challenges, our battles, our pits, our valleys? Oh, friend, listen, our enemies. How far do you think God can go when it comes to meeting our need, when it comes to sustaining us, when it comes to delivering us? Well, I don't know about you, but I think a lot of times I'm like this guy in this little story that I'm going to share with you. There was one day, the story goes, that this guy was out hiking. I had his backpack on and had his cane in his hand, and boy, he's having a wonderful time, just soaking up nature, just looking at God's grandeur and God's glory. And he was walking along a path that I suppose he thought he knew very well, and it was very near a deep precipice. I mean, he didn't have to go very far that he would fall if he wasn't really paying attention. Well, you know where I'm going, don't you? He was walking, and all of a sudden, he fell. He forgot to look where he was going, and down he went, the farther the faster, as the old saying goes. And while he was falling, oh, he just reached out, and by chance, he grabbed a hold of the only tree that was growing out of the side of that rock cliff. Oh, man, you're talking about somebody happy. He was happy. But he was a long way from the top of that tree, and a long way from the bottom. And you know what he did? He began to cry out. He began to cry and said, "Help! Help! Can anybody hear me? Help! Can anybody help me?" And all of a sudden, just out of eternity, the voice of God said, "I hear you. I'm here to help you." That man said, "Well, how great that is. I'm so glad that you heard my cry. I'm so glad that you're able to help me." He said, "Who are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm the Lord." That man hanging on that limb, he said, "Thanks, thank God. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, Lord, for you to hear me and be willing to help me. Get me out of this place, Lord. I know you can do it." And the Lord said, "I can." He said, "Are you willing to do what I tell you to do?" And that man said, "Yeah, Lord. You tell me what to do, anything you want me to do, and I'll do it, Lord. I know that you can deliver me from this place." And the Lord said, "All right, son, if you believe that, then let go." Well, that man got right silent really quick. He thought for a second or two and he said, "Is there anybody else up there to help me?" Isn't that the way we are a lot of times? Isn't that the way we are? Listen, we set limits upon God, but God is able to do the impossible. God is able to bring life out of death. God is not only able to give us life, friend, but He's able to give us eternal life. Here in this book of Mark, and the record again is in Matthew 9, Luke chapter 8. Where this man by the name of Jairus, that lived in the Galilee region, who had made even built a synagogue for the Jews. Oh, he was well known. He was well liked. I mean, he was a man of integrity, a man of honor, a man who loved Jesus, his people. Oh, look, he was a man and had a daughter and had a family, and his daughter became ill. Oh, she was so very ill. The Bible doesn't tell us what she had. The Bible doesn't tell us what infirmity that she was dealing with. But she had something, now listen to this, that was sure to bring her to death. Not just to the door of death, but right into death. Right through that door into the next world that was come. But before this, listen, Jesus had been across the Sea of Galilee. He had been to a place called Gadara. And at that place, He had released a man who had been bound in bondage of demons. As a matter of fact, a legion of demons. And oh, glory to God. You know what Jesus did? How Jesus set him free. Listen to me. How the men of that city, the people of that town, they lived in constant fear of that demoniac. Don't you imagine? Could you imagine living in that town, not letting your kids play on the streets, making sure all your doors were locked? Oh, there was a demoniac. There was a man that was possessed with demons on the loose. Listen, they couldn't bind him with chains. They couldn't limit him. He had so much supernatural power that it is amazing. But there was a man by the name of Jesus, thank God. I came into town, and you know what he did? He delivered that man from demon oppression, from demonic possession, actually, I should say. And when the townsfolk run him out, when they said, "Listen, we don't want you here any longer," Jesus got in a boat and went across the Sea of Galilee. I came back into the area of Capernaum, no doubt. And when he got out of the ship, this man by the name of Jairus went and sent some people to him. And said, "Oh, listen, my daughter," said, "my daughter has fallen sick. And look, if you'll just speak to my daughter, if you'll just lay your hands on my daughter, she shall be healed." And Jesus said, "All right, Jairus, I'll go with you. I mean, I'll go with you. You seem to have faith. You seem to believe that I can do this. Why, sure, I'll go with you." Well, on the way, there was a man or a woman in the crowd, an unnamed woman that had an issue. She had had it for a long time. For a long time, she had this issue of blood. and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. You remember that, don't you? And immediately when she touched the hem of His garment, the Bible said that that she was healed. She felt in herself that something had happened, that that a change had been brought about, that no doctor, no physician, no medication, no cure, no help, nothing that the healthcare community could provide for her. And at the same time, Jesus felt virtue go out of His body. I wonder what old Jairus was thinking about when Jesus stopped the procession, when He said, "Who touched me?" And when He took time to have a conversation with this woman who was now made clean, who could now embrace her family, who could now go back to temple and tabernacle or temple and worship Almighty God. And while this was going on, while she yet spake, while Jesus and this lady was speaking, listen now, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which had a message. Now look, this day started with Jairus, sure that Jesus could heal her daughter or his daughter. He was certain that if Jesus would either speak or come and lay His hand on her, that she would be healed. But now watch this. There were people, no doubt, in His household that thought, well, if Jesus could get here right now, He could do something. How about this spokesman said this? This spokesman said this unto Jairus. Listen, he said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the Master any further?" The Master, those two words just jumped off the page to me. Why troublest thou the Master anymore? You know what? They had limits on their faith. They believed that Jesus could heal the sick, but they didn't think He could do anything beyond that. They didn't think that He could do anything with the dead. That's what happened down at Bethany, where Lazarus lay dead. 4 days he lay dead in the tomb. Oh, when he got there, Mary and Martha met him and said, "Lord, if you've been here, my brother had not died." Oh, listen, they believed in Jesus. Even Martha said, Jesus said, "Look, thy brother shall live again." She said, "I know, Lord, that he'll live, the resurrection." And Jesus said gloriously, and I'm about to shout right now, "I am the resurrection." You know what Jesus was saying to Martha? "You don't have to wait on a day, Martha. Bless God, I'm the event. I'm the one that's got the power. I'm the one that can speak. Bless God. And those that are dead can hear and live again." Oh, isn't it amazing how that those down at Jairus' house and how those down at Bethany of that day have believed that Jesus had the power to heal the sick but not to raise the dead. Oh, friend, it's no wonder that the Word of God says that Jesus wept. Is it not? It's no wonder that Jesus wept. They were saying, "Oh, He could heal the sick, but He can't do anything beyond that." You know what we do? A lot of times we limit Jesus, do we not? The Bible tells us here in Mark chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 13. That he went into his own village, into Nazareth. And the Bible said he did not many mighty wonderful works there, save healing a few sick folk. Isn't that amazing? You say, "Why, preacher?" Because of their unbelief. The Bible said that in verse 6 of chapter 6 of Mark, "And he marveled because of their unbelief." This is astonishing to me what I'm about to say. But do you know, sir, ma'am, my faith and your faith limits God. Isn't that amazing? My faith and your faith limits God. Oh, look, God is limitless. God is almighty. God has all power in heaven and in earth. He is the great I am, and that I am. He spoke this world into existence, and by His power it consists or it continues as it is. And I want you to know, friend, I'm the God, listen, I'm that can do all of that, can do anything. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I don't understand faith. I really don't understand faith. I bless God, but I don't have to understand it to get it to work. All I've got to do is know it does, and all I've got to do is just place it in Jesus Christ. All I've got to do is align my faith with God's Word and God's will, and it'll be amazing what God's able to do. I don't know about you, but here's some things I want to learn. I want to learn, bless God, I want to learn how to always believe that He can do more, that He can not only do more, but much more, don't you? I don't want to limit God. I want to quit limiting God. I've done that all of my life. I'm afraid I'm guilty of that. I believe J. Vernon McGee was that said, he said, if all I could do anything in my life over again, he said, I would believe more. He said, I would want my faith to be greater. Oh, friend, so do I. I want to believe that God can not only do more, but much more. How about you? I want to believe that that He's not only able to put me in a boat, bless God, but get me to the other side. Hey, through a storm if necessary, but He's able to get me across regardless of the storms that come my way. He knows what He's doing. I don't. All I got to do is learn to trust Him. All I've got to do is submit to Him. I don't even want to, I just don't want to learn that He's not only able to get me in a boat, get me to the other side, but He's able to take me through the storm. I don't want to just learn that, but I want to live with the idea that He's not only able to get me out of Egypt, but thank God He's able to get me into the land of promise. Amen. He's able to get me into Canaan. He's able to get me out of the wilderness, if you will, and into that place of victorious Christian life, and that place of conquering the enemy, of defeating the devil, of going up against giants. And because I believe in the one that's invisible, I don't have to worry about the one that is visible. Hey, friend, I want to believe, thank God, that He's not just able to deliver me out of something, but He's able to keep me in. That's what the three Hebrew children learned, was it not? When they spoke to who was it, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to deliver us. And He will deliver us. And they knew whether it was through the fire or in the fire. God is able. Oh, friend, that's the way I want to live, don't you? I don't want to just be delivered from the fiery furnaces of life. I don't want to just be delivered from the storms of life. I want to be able to stand in Him. I want to be able to hold my ground. I want to be able to, right in the midst of the fight and the battle, say, God is. God is what He was, what He is, and what He always shall be. Thank God. I don't want to just believe that God's able to save me, but I want to believe, and I do, He's able to keep me. Thank God. Look, I believe there's a part of a reason for that. We see Him as a baby a lot of times. We like to look at that that Lord in a manger. We even don't mind visiting Him at the cross where He's beaten and bloodied and bruised and battered. But thank God we ought to start seeing Him like John saw Him on the Isle of Patmos. One like unto the Son of Man. One like John saw Him sitting on the throne. One like Isaiah said he saw when King Uzziah died. He realized that the one true King and Lord, the Lord still lives, rules, and reigns. Hey, friend, we ought to stop erasing the limits. We ought to just say, God, here I am. Here's my problem. God, You've given me this son. You've given me this daughter. I mean, look, it looked like Abraham and Sarah, our womb was dead, or it was not unlikely for us to have a child, but we expect You to deliver them again. We expect You to bring them out of that death, to bring them out of drugs, bring them out of addiction. Oh, listen, let's stop limiting God. Let's just put our faith in Him, whatever we have, and let's learn to exercise it. Let's allow God to stretch it and use it so that we could bring Him more glory and honor, and so that we could find peace and rest even in the midst of a storm. Ah, let's stop erasing or stopping God because of our unbelief from doing great things. Let's erase our limits that we put on Him and pray like the Father at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration. Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief unto the next time. May God bless you.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.